right, Anthony?
Yeah.
People don't know, like, before we talk a little bit before we start recording, and often wind up doing an entire show before we record.
We get a lot of good material is left on the cutting room floor there, I think.
There's not even a floor, because it's not recorded. There's nothing cutting.
I didn't mean literally. I just meant the proverbial cutting room floor, the ether. It's lost in the ether. Can we call it that?
It's lost in the ether. I remember years ago, we had an actress on Ed's Night Party when it was a talk show.
Was her name Ether?
Yeah, her name was Ether, Etheria. And her name actually would make no difference because she never went anywhere. But she said that she was talking, there was a list of movies she was supposed to be in. And I said, I don't remember you in X movie. She said, oh, that's because I wound up on the cutting room floor. And I said, oh, dating the editor? Get it? Getting screwed on the floor of the cutting room?
I got it. Sorry.
You're not too fast.
I mean, to be honest, I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
You're having trouble hearing me?
You kind of came in and out and then sped up really fast and then it went away again. I don't know what's going on.
Are you sure that's not your brain on that cappuccino that you're always drinking?
Where'd you go?
Are you there?
Hey, hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you're kind of like blippy. Sorry. No, it's not a caffeine. It's tea. What is caffeine? It's not espresso. I'm having a cup of tea right now.
Oh, yeah.
Here, I'll prove it. Ready?
That doesn't prove anything. You could be drinking warm urine and we wouldn't know the difference.
That's not how I enjoy warm urine. It's much more gaggy. It's more like...
Oh, you like to gargle urine. You don't just drink it. Oh, okay. Gargle I didn't realize urine. There was an etiquette for consuming urine.
It's so nice. It feels so freeing that we can say something like gargle urine and we're not going to get struck down for it.
No, not at all.
The freedom of the internet.
Is there a different, what's the word, set of rules for your own urine and somebody else's urine?
As far as consuming it?
Yeah. Do you just sip or do you gargle both?
I think it depends on the routine, maybe the time of day. If it's early morning and you're trying to get your day started, a good gargle goes a long way.
But those early morning peas are really strong.
They can be, especially if you've had asparagus or something the night before.
It's like when you leave a tea bag in tea for like forever, and you got really strong.
It's a almost neon or a radioactive yellow.
It's not like a
midday one where you've had a few cups of water or whatever.
Yeah, where it's a little dilute. Clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's strong. That's like Canadian beer versus American beer.
I would say, to answer your question, like if you were drinking your own pee, you'd probably savor it and gargle it because it's assumed you're not on your back pissing into your own mouth. It's assumed that you've probably put it into a cup or something. But if you're enjoying someone else's, you'd be like, would it be from the source directly? Would they be like pissing on your face? So would it be like a different, would you kind of like close your eyes and hopefully they got it, they got it in your mouth? Or would it be like,
I don't know. You want me to go to Pornhub and type in swallowing pee and see if the people close their eyes or not?
His drinking etiquette. Is that something you can...
Yeah, that's it. All right, we'll have to look into that. Anyway, let's move from that very illuminating conversation. And folks, let's face it, you won't hear that kind of conversation anywhere else. That's why you should listen to this podcast. The kind of information you won't get... It's kind of like John Tesh's lessons for life that he does, but lessons that you won't hear anywhere else. Etiquette for drinking urine.
Yeah. If you were ever in need... We're here.
You know, back in the 80s, when everyone was convinced there was going to be a nuclear war, the survivalist techniques went around. And one of the things was that during the day, first of all, you should sleep under a car and save your urine. And then at night, drink and bathe in it. And that got me thinking, you know what? Let me die in a nuclear war.
Yeah, I'd rather that than being forced to have to drink your own piss. That would be awful.
Also, I couldn't understand why you would bathe in urine. I mean, I guess it's more sterile than sweat or something, but it's still urine.
Remember that? There used to be remember those commercials that the government used to run where it was like kind of like a PSA? I don't know if it was a PSA or sort of like the
about urine drinking?
About the educational minute. There was this one about these guys. There was like a mining accident And they're like, we were down. The one guy's like, we were in the mine for 3 weeks. We were even forced to drink our own, you know. And he's like hinting at it. It's like, wow, how is this educational? Why do we need to know that particular detail?
That's to tell you to stay in school and don't wind up being a miner.
Don't work in a mine.
Yeah, keep your educational prospects high. You won't wind up being a miner and drinking your own urine underground for 3 weeks. I would think though that you would wind up, like eventually there would be a lot less urine, because if you're just drinking it through, every time you drink it through, some of it gets absorbed.
Well, it gets a little worse every time. I mean, I don't think you can do it too many times.
Well, but you wind up with less each time.
Yeah, it's kind of like the distillation process.
Well, every time you do it, you're losing some because it gets absorbed. So each time you urinate, there's less urine. How long until you have no urine left?
Gets to the point where you're just kind of farting sand out of your dick hole.
Well, that was very colorful.
Moving on.
Yeah, let's move on. Speaking of dick holes, there was a guy who works at a company called The Source. It's a retail outlet. Many of us still call it Radio Shack.
Myself included, even though I'm technically a millennial. But yeah, Radio Shack.
Radio Shack. Radio Shack was a way cooler name than The Source.
I never understood what it was at first. It took me a while to realize.
The Source doesn't really tell you the source of what. With their logo in the store, like in the mall, it looks like it might be a health food store.
Yeah, or just cell phones.
Anyway, so The Source, this in Toronto, this 85-year-old man who's got Alzheimer's, not the kind of Alzheimer's that it's full-blown, but I think it's transitory Alzheimer's, like it comes and goes. I don't know, but he lives alone, and he thought he needed a new TV, so he went to The Source at, I think, Dufferin Mall in Toronto.
Oh, and yeah, that one.
You know Dufferin Mall? Yeah.
I know Dufferin Mall.
Yeah. Everyone's, no matter where you live in the city or even outside the city like me, everyone knows Dufferin Mall.
A buddy of mine had a phony Instagram account claiming to hilarious photographs of shit going on in Dufferin Mall that was like, whoa, what? Pretty good.
I lost you again.
I lost you. Yeah, I could. It throws me off when I'm like telling a story and it just goes blank. It's kind of like getting no laughs at a stand-up comedy gig or something. It makes me nervous. Can you hear me?
Nobody can hear you when you're talking and you're not getting laughs. It's because nobody's hearing you. You're not getting any reaction from me. Anyway, let's forge ahead and see how many times it happens. All right.
Yeah, let's try and make it work.
So he goes in thinking he needs a new TV. A representative in there signed him to 2-year contracts for Bell Fibe and a new cell phone with a data and warranty plan, sold him a cordless phone, a landline, and a tablet, and signed him to another 2-year contract for high-speed home internet. What he didn't wind up leaving with? A television.
Good God, what an arsehole this guy was.
And the salesperson says that we're pushed by our management to get as many sales as possible. They say that the pandemic and people not coming into malls isn't an excuse. We should still be hitting sales targets. So they push them to do unethical things, but this goes beyond unethical. I mean, any one of those things that he sold this old man would have been unethical, but all of them is a grand slam of unethical. I don't care how many, this guy was probably thinking, I'm gonna get a great commission off this. And it took a while till the guy's son realized he had packages around the house he didn't need and so on. And he contacted The Source, and the person at help desk said that, let me just find the quote, because this is a really good quote. Hold on a second. Finding the quote.
We're waiting.
Oh yeah. Contacted them, and his son did, and he explained that his father had Alzheimer's disease, and the person said, your father was of sound body and mind in order to be able to process and provide the information required to complete the signing of the contract. End of story.
Oh, come on. What a bunch of assholes.
And you know what? This happened at The Source, but I guarantee you, this kind of thing happens everywhere. People have lost sight of being decent. All that matters is them and their money. and how much money they make. And it's exacerbated by the fact that people aren't making very much money, that people are being paid minimum wage. People are being signed on contracts and not given benefits. The cheaping out of businesses is leading to stories like this, where an old man gets fleeced because he's a ripe target for somebody with absolutely no ethics, no values.
Zero.
They eventually broke his contracts, refunded him the money, took back the devices. Things like the cell phone and the tablet, still in the box. He didn't even know what a tablet was.
Oh my God, the poor guy. He just was confused, and this guy sold him a bill of goods and completely took advantage of him. Who are these fucking people? I mean,
who are they? They're all over the place. I am convinced this is not limited to the source. Now, if the guy hadn't contacted the media, he probably would have gotten no satisfaction. Nowadays, if you don't contact the media, they don't care. Though one thing companies do care about is their Twitter account.
Yeah, and the reviews.
If you have trouble with a company and you're getting nowhere with the phone calls and the help desk, tweet about that company.
Call in the Twitter mob.
Companies do not want bad PR on social media. So better than calling and getting nowhere, just put it in a social media post. They will contact you to fix the problem. Right. I've done this.
Yeah. All of a sudden, as soon as their PR gets a hold of it, it's like, oh, we can't. Because social media marketing is everything now. There's courses, there's people teaching how to properly do your Instagram and this and that and the other thing. And it's just an entire industry of fucking, I don't know. I'm of two minds about it. Do you think, here, let me pose this question to you. As a salon owner myself, do you think that social media marketing is, how important do you think it is to the success of a small business nowadays? Do you think that, okay, well, how did these salons or how did these small businesses become successful in the first place? Is it word of mouth that's number one, or is it social media presence? And at the end of the day, is it more about seeing how many followers a salon has or a small business has, or is it about providing a top quality service?
I'm glad you asked this question, Anthony. The answer is, first of all, it depends on the nature of the business, how important social media is. If you have a product that can sell on the internet, social media marketing is important. If you have a hair salon like you do, and you're not, your main product is not something you can sell over the internet,
it's a service.
Most important thing is local word of mouth, because people aren't going to come from 70 miles away to the salon. People pick a salon within a certain distance from their home. So the important thing is in that dome area, that biodome around the salon and the communities around there, word of mouth getting it. Word of mouth advertising, they found, is the most effective.
Even in the social media age. Trust. Right. And because I'm thinking like, okay, we put all this effort into boosting our social media presence. We're a small operation. We have, 550 square feet and less than 10 employees. What are we going to do if all of a sudden we have 500 appointments a week that we can't fulfill? Does that make sense? Is that worth the effort? Because eventually those people are just going to get discouraged if there's a three or four week waiting list. People just want to pop down tomorrow.
First of all, you won't get 500 in a week unless you're offering crack and a Swedish massage. for a salon, social media, I think, is kind of a waste of time.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that would say, I mean, especially the people peddling the social media.
Of course they would. They got a vested interest in it. Like that guy, Vin Sanity, who ripped you off with that stupid exercise program.
$60 is not that much. Okay,
it's
look.
Still $60 out of your pocket and in his.
People are spending $1,000 for a set of fucking adjustable dumbbells. I bought $40 worth of resistance bands and I'm getting the exact same result. So who's really getting fleeced? I dipped a toe and it turns out it was a bad move, but I didn't lose a lot of money in the process. Let's just say exercise equipment and the whole gym exercise fitness industry itself, I will admit, is a giant fucking scam. Nobody needs to pay $150 a month to go to fucking Good Life and stand around waiting for somebody else to wipe their sweat off the fucking treadmill that they were just on. And most people drop off. because it's such a hassle and it's such a pain in the ass to like consistently work out all the time, because number one, it's boring. Number two, it's hard. And number three, results don't come quickly. So just work out at home a little bit every day, get yourself into the habit of it. And then in a year from now, take your shirt off and say, holy fuck, look, that worked. But don't go blowing $120 bucks a month on this shit.
First of all, think about where you are before you take your shirt off.
Well, yeah.
It won't go well in church. All right. Keep that in mind.
At the source.
No, you could possibly take it off at the source because they'll take the shirt right off your back.
Exactly.
Apparently. Exactly. But you still paid $60 and got ripped off. So I don't care. $60 is a lot. There's other people for $60 makes a big difference.
In the grand scheme of things, it's a small amount of money if you're looking into investing into any sort of fitness application. Look at the fucking Peloton, for Christ's sake. You ever seen that thing?
Yeah,
how much one of those fucking things is? Like, how many people have bought? I remember my parents did this. They bought a treadmill when I was a kid, and it was $800 in whatever, 1992. And you know what ended up happening on it? I ended up using it for skateboarding. I skateboarded on it.
And how fucked do you skateboard around on a treadmill?
Well, first you put the skateboard on the treadmill and you turn it up all the way, and then you stand on it, and then you try and do tricks without falling off.
How many times did you fall off?
A lot.
Yeah,
a lot.
Because it's not made for that.
Wow, this is tomfoolery of a teenager, so what do you want?
All right, so anyway, continuing to talk about taking advantage of seniors, there are so many internet scams out there. The problem is there's a lot of seniors who have a little bit of knowledge. I mean, there's some who have complete knowledge of the internet, but a larger percentage have some knowledge of the internet, enough to get themselves into trouble, but not enough to get themselves out. And so they'll be surfing the net, and senior couple that I know happened to them. A thing popped up and said it was from Microsoft and that their account had been hacked and their bank account had been hacked. So quickly call this number. And the woman called the number, and the Microsoft agent, like, the first thing is Microsoft doesn't send you messages like that.
No.
Microsoft has no idea if your bank records have been breached.
Red flag number one.
They're not a bank. And so she calls this number, and the guy was very, very helpful, she said. And
of course.
And said to her that he could tell that $5,300 had been taken out of her account in the middle of the night.
Right.
And
God for this guy.
And he said, which bank? And she said, he said, did you take it out? She said, no, I was asleep. He said, okay, which bank do you bank with? And she said, the Toronto Dominion. He goes, okay, I'll connect you. And
the lady sitting next to me in the fucking
hot. And then there's a lady comes on, gives some fake name, says she's with TD Safety and Security, and that she sees that the money was taken out. And now at this point, even if you're fooled to this point, the average person would go online, check their bank account, and see if any of this is true.
Right.
She didn't do that.
She was so panicked. The whole point of these phone calls, I feel, is to just get you riled up, to get you scared.
Yeah.
To keep you on the phone.
It got her scared. It got her husband scared. So they told her what they had to do, and this, I don't even know how this didn't flag, was go to Shoppers Drug Mart and take out $5,300 in cash cards.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what the end game was. If it was mail me the cash cards, I don't know. But they went to Shoppers Drug Mart and discovered you can't put $5,300 into cash cards at Shoppers Drug Mart.
Right. They don't have an entire case of those cash cards sitting there.
Yeah, you can't do it. So then it twigged that this might be a scam.
Right.
And she tried to unravel it and eventually spoke to the real bank. And discovered that nothing had been breached. No account had been breached. No security had been broken. And, you know, she was like, but this woman, they were both so helpful. It's like, helping themselves to your money. And it was the nature of the pop-up alarm from Microsoft.
Right. It looked real.
That scared her. It looked real. And they're always, because they have only a little bit of knowledge of the internet. They don't have enough knowledge to know that that doesn't happen. Microsoft doesn't contact you that way, and they don't have access to your bank account.
Similar thing happened to a friend of ours. She was visiting from Italy, and she had just come, and we had gone, I guess my wife and I, Giada and I, had gone up to our cabin for just a little 3-day vacation or whatever. And she was here by herself, staying with us. And she was just whatever. She gets a phone call saying, "Hi, this is so-and-so from the CRA. We've noticed that there's certain taxes that are owing, and we just want you to know that unless you pay these like right away, that the RCMP is going to come to your door." They had our address and all this stuff. And so she's terrified at this point, and they terrorized her into emptying her bank account and putting it all into a Bitcoin machine. And then by the time we got back, she said, "Oh my God, like the RCMP is coming for me." Like, she's fully convinced that these people were serious. We said, no, sweetheart, that's a fucking phone scam. Like, this person isn't real. She's like, no, but it is. And then when we searched it and pointed out like XYZ, like, first of all, the CRA is not going to call for this. They don't ask you to empty your bank account and do all this stuff.
And she put literally, it into Bitcoin.
And put it into a Bitcoin machine to quote unquote, keep it safe. Yeah, for the yeah, process for the process the
safest,
to be
safest place for your money is Bitcoin.
Yeah, take it out of the bank, and put it into a Bitcoin machine in some random fucking neighborhood. You know what? And so poor thing was in an Uber. They made her stay on the phone. She, by the time she got back home, she locked herself in the house and was just terrified. And then once she realized it was a scam, she's just tail between her legs. We felt so terrible for her because she'd come to visit and work. And she had to go back because it brought her back down to zero. Everything she had worked and saved up, which, you know, it was not an insignificant amount of money to her because it was literally every dollar that she had made since she had been here over a course of 6 or 7 months, right? She was saving it up to try and make a life for herself here, maybe get her own place or go to school or do something. And then all of it just went into the ether because they literally just scared the shit out of her. And it's a form of fucking terrorism, because if you're employing terror to try and steal somebody's money, how is that not? You know what I mean?
Well, wait a second. If you put money into Bitcoin, don't you put it into like a Bitcoin account? Can't you take the money out?
So that's not what this was. Like, I've, in my experience, I mean, personally, in my experience with Bitcoin, there was a website called QuadrigaCX.ca, and it was like basically the only place in Canada where you could trade for Bitcoin. And then what you can do is you can take the Bitcoin from that platform off on, and you put it on basically a really high-end security USB stick, and then your Bitcoin literally sits in a USB stick, and your USB stick can be worth hundreds of thousands, millions, whatever, of dollars. But luckily for, in my experience, what happened was it was my first time ever investing. So I was like, okay, I'll buy some Bitcoin. So I bought like $1,500 worth of Bitcoin, and it got up to about, I don't know, $3,000 or $4,000. And then it started to go back down again. And then I was like, okay, I can't stand this, because I'm checking it every day and it was up and down and up and down, super volatile. I took it out and then made maybe, I don't know, $1,000 or something like that at the end of the day. But then I checked back to Quadriga CX, which was this platform where my Bitcoin lived, and the fucking company had gone bankrupt and everybody lost all their money or something. There was some bankruptcy protection. The guy who ran the company fucked off to the Virgin Islands or who the hell knows. So it's like, it's so, everyone's talking like they know what this stuff is. I don't understand what it is.
Oh, I'll say right out in the open. I have no idea about Bitcoin, which is why I don't invest in Bitcoin, because I don't understand it. That's the thing. When you don't understand something, it doesn't make sense to pretend you understand, because the people around you who do understand know you don't understand, and they're laughing at you. It's like when you go to a party and people are talking about music and you're not into that kind of music. Or the bands that they're into, but you want to be part of the conversation. And so whenever they bring up a band, "Do you like so-and-so?" You just say, "Oh, I like their early stuff best." And that's how you can tell somebody is a bullshitter.
Because
now most music snobs will always say, "I like their early stuff best." But
they want the prestige of knowing that they were the first ones to find out about this band.
They're purists, not the shit that came later. They liked their early stuff when they were hungry and they were artists
struggling,
and they were putting all of their experience into their music, not when things got easier for them. But I'll tell you that's like when I'm in, I remember once I was somewhere and someone started talking French to the person in front of me, and the person in front of me started talking French to her, and they're both talking French, and they asked me something, and all I said was, Mais oui. Because that's all I understand. And they looked at me because it was not actually the answer to the question.
Yeah, you could have said anything.
Mais oui, which means I think very yes.
I think it's my yes.
Maybe. But anyway, there's really no protections for people from these scams.
Oh, it means but yes. I just did a translation. But
it means
yes.
But yes?
But yes.
Well, it wasn't an appropriate answer. So they're looking at you. Yeah. It's like, you know, sometimes it happens when people are speaking English and you haven't been paying attention. And you finish, you go, no doubt, or something like that. And it's not an appropriate reaction to what they just said. And
yeah,
they just
no
look
doubt.
At you and it's like, oh, nailed.
Right. It's like, do you ever meet people like that? I mean, have you ever been to any of these like kind of I'm sure you have these backstage meet and greets at like concerts and stuff where it's like certain people you'll meet they just glaze over and you can tell that they're not interested in talking to you. That happens to me a lot.
It's never happened to me.
Where you just meet somebody who's like, you're talking
they're
to
always
them.
Interested in talking to me. I've never had that happen. Usually there's a lineup of people to talk to me.
Yeah, that's true.
So no, I don't have that experience, Anthony. Maybe you're just not really wanted there.
I guess maybe I'm just not that interesting.
How did you wind up there in the first place?
At a meeting. Oh, I was at which one of my specifically, I think I'm talking about one of the ones at one of the Tragically Hip shows. Cause for a while, my cousin was involved with the drummer from the Tragically Hip. And so I would be able to go to their shows and stuff like in Kingston and around. So I'd go to these meet and greets and there'd be like, I was just a little, you know, some pissant 20-year-old, but there's a lot of like people, you know, you run bump into like Sarah Harmer or like one of the guys from Sloan or like whoever, right? Like kind of
you're making me wet.
Big wig.
Dropping these to Sarah Harmer, a guy
just
from sploosh. Sloan.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
the guy who ran Roots Canada, stuff like that. Like just people that were in their sort of, I guess, orbit that they hung around with. The Canadian, you know, sort of art artistic elites. I guess you would call. I don't know. Is they
the
not
guy
like
from Sloan?
Well, no, like these people, you know, you have to assume that like, okay, what band from Canada who stayed in Canada is bigger than the Tragically Hip as far as like cultural recognition or like any of that.
Nickelback.
Kind of stuff. Like, but they didn't stay in Canada. They made their bones in the States and in other countries, right?
But like, Tragically Hip toured US too.
Yeah, but not very successfully. None of the Gord's lyrics they barely make any fucking sense in Canada. Nobody knew what the hell he was talking about in the States.
Well, I'll tell you
something.
And
this and that and the
other. I recognize the artistry of Tragically Hip. I recognize the talent of all the members, including the late Gord Downie.
Yeah.
That being said,
may he rest
in
peace.
The Tragically Hip. There's not a single one of their songs that isn't like nails on a blackboard to me.
Oh.
I can't stand it. Sounds like whining. It sounds like somebody, a dog that just got neutered. It's I can't stand the vocals. I can't stand the music. I can't stand the subject of the music. I just hate it.
If you can decipher the subject of the music, I mean,
Bob Cajun wants to sing about Bob Cajun. People who live in Bob Cajun don't want to think about Bob Cajun.
They got good ice cream. That's about it.
Bob Cajun?
Yeah, I remember my buddy used to have a cottage, or he still does. His parents have a cottage up on Sturgeon Lake, and there's an estuary that you can drive the boat in and stop at Bob Cajun. There's a lock there, and you can stop and pull up the boat and walk up the hill and get some ice cream. I got stung by a bumblebee in Bob Cajun. Fuck Bob Cajun.
That sounds like the lyrics of a Tragically Hip song.
Yeah, it could have been, right? Why not?
Yeah, I mean, people say you can't really be Canadian if you hate the Tragically Hip. I'm sorry, I do. I just don't find what they put out to be the kind of music I would call music. I recognize many people like them and that they do have an artistry enough to attract people. I'm just not one of those people. I can't understand the cult of the Tragically Hip. I don't like them. I've never liked them. This is nothing personal. I've never even met them. But when I hear that stuff, I'm like, oh, is there anything, I mean, anything, including silence, that's available to listen to besides that?
Look, I've met some of those guys, and some of them are genuinely lovely, nice people to talk to.
The people whose eyes were glazed over while you were saying hello.
Well, no, I will say that Rob, I forget his last name, the guy, the big, tall guy with the long black hair. Rob from the Hip. I know the listeners are going, "You asshole, how could you not remember?" Rob
Baker.
I don't know.
I didn't even know there was a guy named Rob.
So Robbie Baker, he is like a genuinely nice person. He'll interact and he'll chat, and there doesn't seem to be any sort of airs of superiority when you talk to
Robbie
Baker.
Wait, is he the drummer?
No, that was Johnny Fay. He was a little bit of a, he was an odd duck, to be serious. It seemed like anything you had to say was kind of get it over with, and everything he had to say was sit down, young man, and let me spin a yarn and listen to how great I am. He was always a little bit, seemed a little full of himself, but Robbie Baker was definitely super nice and friendly. Like every interaction that I had with him was like pleasant and jokey and whatever. Like he was just a nice person, and you know, you'd kind of, I wouldn't have anything bad to say about him. The other guys I didn't really connect with too well. And I never met Gord because he never came out to any of the meet and greets. He wasn't interested in that aspect of it, I don't think. So it was mostly the band, not the actual.
Can you imagine how ripped off you'd feel if you got a meet and greet with a Tragically Hip and Gord Downie wasn't there?
He wasn't at any of them. I was at probably four or five of them over the years while they were together, and I never met him once.
Well, that's like,
it's a bit of a ripoff. It did feel like a bit of a ripoff. Like it was like, well, where is he? He's like, oh, he's back there. He's around, but he doesn't do these things.
It's like going to see Before Four and the twins aren't there. Yeah, just the one guy who's not a twin.
One of them. Yeah. Or going to see, I don't know who else, Rush, and you get the fucking guitar player. You get the roadie.
Yeah,
you get the drum tech.
No Neil Peart. No, when he was alive. Was Neil Peart still alive?
Yeah,
it's Alex like Lifeson died, didn't he?
I got one. Lifeson is around. Getty is around. Peart passed away. Sadly,
that's what I thought. Neil Peart passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like going to. It's like going to a Nickelback show, and all you get to meet and greet is Chad Kroeger.
No.
You want to meet all the other guys.
It's you're being ironic there because
exactly.
You go to a Nickelback concert, you don't know anybody's in the band besides Chad Kroeger.
I hear he's actually a super nice guy.
The times I met him.
Yeah, and anybody I know who's ever had any interaction with him said he's like the nicest guy in the world, and like the hate is really, they don't get it. They're just a rock band that's working hard, that did super well, and their music is popular across North America. They're huge and whatever, and they work really hard. And why the hate? They're clearly very successful and people love them, and they sell out huge shows, and they're really nice guys. So this phenomenon of Nickelback sucks, it's like clearly they don't. It's like they clearly don't suck. You might not like their music, but you can't say they suck.
If you had me choose between being forced to sit in a room and listen to 24 hours straight of a band, and I had the choice of Tragically Hip or Nickelback, Nickelback every time. Tragically Hip, I would lose the will to live in about 90 seconds, and I'd be catatonic the rest of the time, drooling. You'd never be able to I'd be found to be in a vegetative state. They'd have to put me in a bed and let me lie there for the rest of my life because I would check out. Being surrounded by the Tragically Hip, just no. Nickelback, fine. Because Nickelback, let's face it, I like one of Nickelback's songs, which means you like all of Nickelback's songs.
It's fine.
And because they're all the same.
Yeah, they definitely are formulaic, and they're just about having a good time and rocking on. Look, you'd be like, I was going to say, you'd probably be, did you ever see The Wall? The movie The Wall? By
No,
Pink
I never
Floyd?
Saw The Wall.
Do you know who Bob Geldof is?
Of course I know who this Bob Geldof is.
So Bob Geldof was in The Wall. He was Pink. He played the character of Pink in The Wall. And there's a scene where he's just sitting in a chair, drooling, completely catatonic, staring at a television. Anyways, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, that would be the effect that 24 hours of the Tragically Hip would have had on you.
I love how the millennial is asking me if I've ever heard of Bob Geldof. Like he belongs to the millennial generation somehow.
I don't think he belongs to the millennial.
Boomers know who Bob Geldof is.
A Live Aid guy.
Well, even before that, Boomtown Rats.
I don't know anything about that. I know Live Aid, and I know Pink Floyd, The Wall, and I know the appearance he made on Top Gear from a few years ago. But I don't know what he did before Live Aid or The Wall.
What's anybody Boomtown? Else you want to ask me if I've heard of? Lionel Richie?
Yes. George Burns.
Yes, I've heard of George Burns.
You know, sometimes Jonesy gets a stick in her mouth, and I'm just like, hey, Jada, it's a regular George Burns over here. Because
yeah, and her being ridiculous. From Italy and young, she probably has no idea what you're talking about.
She's like, who the hell? She's like, who? She laughs, and then she's like, who?
I'm
like,
why does she laugh? Barrett. She's laughing to placate you.
Of course, because she's awesome.
Well, she doesn't. It's better than calling you an idiot. It just makes it unpleasant for her.
Well, I think she's just generally trans positive. She's just a positive person.
She's trans positive?
No. She's just a positive person.
What did you say?
I don't think she's trans positive.
I think you said she's generally trans positive.
I said she's generally just a positive person. That's what I said.
Oh, wait. I think you said trends.
She trends positive. Yes. All right. Sorry, that's what I said. Yeah, she generally trends positive. Here, look at me. I'm using social media terminology here.
I'm trans positive. I support trans people, but I don't think that's actually a term.
Is it?
I don't think so.
It should be, don't you think?
You know what? Everything's going to be a term at some point or another. And every time you talk about anything, someone's going to find you guilty of some kind of bigotry. So you might as well just let it fly.
Yeah, if none of us can win, then who gives a shit?
Yeah. I should mention that the Indiegogo thing, no update.
Oh, nothing? Not a peep?
Not a word. The money has not been released.
Oh.
It's scheduled to be released within the next...
This week, right?
Roughly within the next 4 days. They say that estimated to be released the week of May 7th. But still nothing. No emails from them to say their investigation is complete, that everything's okay, or even the other. There's been no communication from them for well over a week, like 10 days.
So you're puckered.
I'm just sitting here waiting to see, and I'm not going to do the fulfillment, sending out the products and stuff like that, if Indiegogo is going to void the whole thing and send them their money back.
It's sort of like... it's kind of bullshit because the intended effect is of this person fucking you over is to prove that you don't do your fulfillments, and now you're not doing your fulfillments because this person's trying to fuck you over. It's sort of like who's that artist that did the one hand draw on the other of that thing?
I don't know who that is.
Dolly? Did Dolly do the one hand draw that?
Maybe. Dolly? Salvador Dolly?
Drawing the other. I think it was.
Or as art people like to call Dolly.
Dali.
Salvador Dali.
Esker at the Dali. Salvador Dali Museum. Yeah, he did the one hand draw on the other. So this whole thing is just a one hand draw on the other of bullshit. Because you're not able to do the fulfillments, and that's what this person's accusing you of. So it's like, what's the solution in their mind? You know,
I mean, it's only been a week since the campaign ended. But as far as I'm concerned, the money, I've not received the money for these orders. So the transaction's not complete yet. If the money can still go back to them, then I'd be a sucker to send out things at my own expense and not receive the contributions.
Of course. So yeah, everything's on hold until...
But I want to get it done with. I want to get it over with. I want to get these things done and move forward.
And a lot of the fulfillment, a lot of the stuff that you have to fulfill is digital, isn't it? Like
No. There's some physical stuff.
There's comic books, there's postcards, t-shirts, socks.
Yeah, there's physical. I avoided t-shirts as much as I could. And then somebody contacted me for a t-shirt company and said they'd supply free t-shirts.
Oh.
Free printed t-shirts. So I'm like, all right. So I saved that for near the end of the campaign. Then I gave away or sold. I've got a stock of Ed the Sock shirts from the Chum City store.
Okay.
I always got a percentage when the new stuff was printed. And I put it in a box, in this case, in a plastic bin, and they just went away. And I found the bin of these shirts all in perfect condition.
Well, that's good.
Now, I mean, of one shirt style, there was only 9 of them. Of the other, there was 26.
Can you fulfill sizes? Like, are they all different sizes, or are they just...
No, they're all large.
Sorry,
all extra large.
Oh, perfect. That's my favorite. Whenever I got a new job, I was required to wear a t-shirt. I mean, I'm 5'7", 130, 145 pounds, whatever. It was always the extra large. Here's your t-shirt. Ugh. So I stopped working jobs where I had to wear a t-shirt. Fuck that. Big shirt. Doesn't even shrink.
What did you do? Go wearing, like, you went shirtless?
No, I just quit. Moving on.
You are a millennial. All right. All right. So I have a note here to ask you something about Jonesy and the vet.
Oh, yeah.
That's your dog, Jonesy?
Nora Jones, Jonesy, the vet. So...
Is this going to be boring because you're taking a long time to tee up?
Well, no, I wanted to run this by you. Let me think. I'm going to take my time to tell this story. Not too much time, but... Here we go.
What are you doing, meditating?
At like various... Scooting.
Oh, she was scooting along the floor. Right?
Something's happened. She was scooting, Something happened as soon as you started describing
your dog's dragging her ass across the floor. The internet crapped
out. The internet decided to take a shit.
They didn't want
to
hear it. So your dog is scooting, sledding. They call it different things.
Anyway, she's dragging her ass. We all know what it looks like. So it turns out that she had sort of inflamed scent glands in her butt. A procedure called express. Which means she gets fluid in there that they kind of expel when they use the bathroom, which kind of marks.
All right, you're coming in and out.
Their territory.
You're coming in and out here.
I'm coming in and out. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Okay. But you were talking about that the scent glands were inflamed, that they were overfilled, and somebody needs to express them, which means they need to squeeze the scent glands to get the pent up scent. And I used to know a guy in high school who worked at a vet clinic, and his job was squeezing dogs' asses all day long.
He was the expressor.
And the smell.
Yeah. Can't imagine.
I'm imagining it. I never even smelled it, and I'm sickened.
So Giada and I, we were talking to each other. We're like, well, why would this be happening? And then it kind of dawned on us that when our previous vet used to conduct the like when we would take her once a year, the previous vet would do the anal exam. Like they always like put a finger in their butt to see if everything's okay. But then we realized this guy wasn't using a glove.
What?
Yeah. The guy wasn't using a glove.
Did you shake his hand?
Of course not. Of course not. You know, elbow pump.
That's not hygienic.
So we were asking our new vet, like, hey, she was getting a raw finger in her butt, and then she started having this problem. Could there be any correlation? And the new vet said, well, some vets choose to go in without a glove and some don't. It's more of an old school way of conducting those exams, but some people learn it that way and they're comfortable doing that way because they don't feel like they can get a proper exam with a glove on. But there's no correlation. And I'm thinking, how is there not any correlation? Like, she didn't have a problem with her butt, and then this guy stuck his finger in her butt without a glove on, and now she's got a problem with her butt. Am I crazy?
Well, yeah, because they don't have to be related. There were lots of other things he probably did to check her out that aren't related. It's animals get sick. They get conditions like human beings.
The vet's trying to tell me, oh, it could be genetic or it could be your diet. I'm thinking it's the fucking guy who probably didn't wash his hands from the last rectal exam he did on the cat that just
walked. You're concerned that his hand was too dirty for her asshole?
Correct, because it could be transference of bacteria. If he's sticking his finger up other animals' butts all day and then putting one in her, then does that not seem causal to you? It seems causal to me.
No, I don't think so, because the scent glands aren't specifically the anal glands.
But they're all connected and in there. It's not like there's a separate...
Your body's connected. Don't remember that song? Head bones connected to the neck bone. Don't remember that song?
There's no separate orifice for the scent gland, though. It's all kind of all in one spot. I don't know.
Well, okay, but it's like when you go to McDonald's and you get a fountain drink.
The new vet is... Yeah.
There was one machine there with several different spigots. So if you push the Coke one, you'll get Coke. Even though root beer is next to it, you won't get root beer, you'll get Coke. Even though they all seem to be coming from the same source, they're not.
I miss the movie theater.
Yeah, I miss movies too.
Look, I'm drawing a connection that
maybe
isn't
there's a reason
there.
You're not a vet.
There's a large reason that I'm not a vet. I didn't go to veterinary school.
Then why are you deciding that your vet is wrong and this is related, even though when the vet said it's not related?
because why the whole
are you,
idea-
why are you considering that your uneducated guess of correlation and causation is more potent and more likely to be real than that was brought to you by a regular vet? See, this is how Trump people think in the States. You're avoiding the voice of science and going by your gut instinct because you think this must be connected.
Okay, well, okay, you might have a point there. And I want to believe that I know the answer, but I'm probably wrong. I don't want to believe that my dog has some genetic predisposition to me having to spend $80 every 4 months to get her scent glands expressed. I want her to be happy.
You could learn to do it yourself.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Isn't that worth $80?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, you do it once and smell that. Trust me, you'll be begging them to take your $80. You'll offer to give them more. Trust me, okay. It's worth the $80.
Well, have you ever performed that procedure yourself?
No, but I know about scent glands. And
you do.
It's concentrated in there, and it's bad, man.
Where did you go to veterinary school?
Nowhere.
So what do you know about scent glands?
I read about scent glands.
Okay, send me that publication. I'd like to learn about them myself, just to become more informed. I don't think like a Trump supporter. I'm open to new information, and my opinion.
But the guy who went to veterinary school, who is an expert in veterinary science, told you that the scent gland problem is not related to the previous vet sticking his finger up the dog's ass, and you still think it's related to the previous vet sticking his finger up the dog's ass. I think that you've got some kind of phobia about anal penetration. And it's manifesting itself this way.
Oh wow, Dr. Laura! Holy shit!
Well, it's right there in front of us. There, I mean, you're fixated on
what were
the
you
guy
saying?
With his finger up the ass. Wait till you turn 50, and your doctor does it every year.
Look, I got no problem with that. You guys stick his finger up your dog's butt with no glove on, and then all of a sudden she has a problem with her butt. It just seems like I don't think that I'm out of left field here and thinking that the two might be connected. Now, if they're not, that's fine. I'm just saying it was a very visceral visual experience. And, maybe there is something to it. Probably not. They're saying it's not. But then again, this guy's coming from a school where they're teaching him it's acceptable to put an ungloved, presumably unwashed hand in a dog's anus. And who knows if he's doing that all day or not. So I'm a little bit.
But you heard this
unsure.
From the, you heard this from the new vet, not from Dr. Finger. From the new vet.
Not from Dr. Finger, but who knows where Dr. Finger got her degree. Was it in a gloved veterinary institution of teaching or not?
I understand that you're feeling for various things on the inside there that could be wrong. And a glove can deny or deaden sensation. This is the same argument used for not wearing condoms.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like another,
So, why are we talking about your dog's ass? Is your dog's ass okay?
Yeah, she's good. We got her all checked out. She's a little fat, so we got to stop feeding her cheese. But other than that, she can stand to lose 5 pounds. But other than that, she's happy and healthy. Oh, and I did get a dog toothbrush because she's got a little bit of plaque on her canines. But
Your dog's teeth?
Yeah. The vet, this is the thing. The vet was like, you got to go out and get some. She gave us a real dressing down. She told us she's fat. And she's not, in so many words, a little overweight. But we also need to get the plaque off of her canines, even though we give her dentist sticks. But apparently the dentist sticks don't do shit for the canines because they don't chew them with the canines. And she loves a stick. So she likes to chew on a stick. So I'm thinking that's maybe where some of the tartar's coming from. But we've started, a couple times. The vet said, brush your teeth every day. I'm like, I don't even brush my teeth every day. I'm not going
to. Did I need to know that?
I'm not going to brush your teeth every day.
You don't brush your teeth every day?
Not every day. I mean, sometimes you miss a day. But, at least
No, sometimes you don't miss a day. Unless you're rugged in the wild, you've been dropped there from a plane in a parachute, and you're trying to survive. You find a stick and rub your teeth with the stick.
Never. Okay, 36 years old, never had a cavity. Never paid attention to
it. It ain't
diet.
About cavities. It's about disgusting. Your mouth probably smells like a bag of assholes.
Oh, it's fine. A bag of dog's assholes.
You don't brush your teeth every day. Do you wash your hands after you pee?
Depends where I am. If I'm home, no. But if I'm out, yes.
Wait, why does it make a difference if you're home or not?
Because I won't be interacting with the public or with anything where I could touch it if I'm home.
What about Giada touching your pissed up door handle to the bathroom?
It's not pissed up. As far as I'm concerned, my penis is cleaner than my hands are because it spends time in my underwear. It's not interacting with
your
the larger
underwear
world.
Is like a sealed bag of sweat.
Yeah, but your hands obviously would contain more bacteria from touching things than your penis would because it doesn't touch anything. So if I, you know what I mean?
So like, shouldn't you wash your hands just because there's more bacteria on them?
Yeah.
Like, I'm more likely to touch your penis because your pristine penis is going to touch your dirty hands.
I'm more likely to wash my hands before I use the bathroom than after. Well, that's what I said. Like, I'm more likely to wash my hands before I go to the bathroom than after.
It's disgusting. Don't you realize that when you're peeing,
it's disgusting,
there's blowback in small droplets of urine that lands on your hand?
No, because I pee on the side of the side of the toilet bowl, so there's no splashback. How'd this come back to piss talk? Where have we been?
Exactly there. All right.
We've come full circle.
From now on, you and I, you know, there ain't no handshaking. Good thing I don't have any hands. If I'm ever over at your place and you want to, hey, can I fix you something neat? No, thanks.
I mean, it's a good way to deter having to entertain. That's for sure.
Yeah, just let people know, oh, by the way, when I piss, I don't wash my hands. So that surface there, I touched that. There was a guy when I was working at a TV station.
Yeah.
Discovered that he would take a crap and not wash his hands.
Okay.
You wash your hands after taking a crap, I assume.
Yeah, most of the time. Oh. Most of the time. You literally every time you do?
Yes, every time.
I don't know about that.
Every time.
But okay, there's certain circumstances where it's like, have you ever taken a shit where it's like you go to wipe and there's nothing on the toilet paper? Like it's just the cleanest of shits?
No.
You've never had a shit where there's nothing on the toilet paper?
No.
See, I have. I have had shits where it's like they were so clean and they came out so easy that it was just nothing. I went to wipe and it was just white toilet paper, nothing there. And so it's like, all right, well, seems like I'm good here.
You should still wash your hands. Listen, were in contact with your ass.
If I'm going to cook or I'm going to engage in some sort of activity, like let's say, for example, I'm coming home after a day of being out in the world. I wash my hands as soon as I get home. I've been washing my hands quite a lot, like probably like too much during COVID. Like I wash them at other times during the day. I don't necessarily do it right after I use the washroom, but I'm still washing my hands like throughout the day and using hand sanitizer to the point where I got to say, I've had to start using moisturizer because my hands have been pretty dry.
You won't after wiping your ass or taking a pee.
Well, I will sometimes. I can't say with abject certainty that I do it 100% of the time, every single time. Perfect record. I don't think anybody.
It should be automatic. You shouldn't even have to think about it. It's like breathing.
I don't think it's like breathing. I think it's like trying to burp.
So this guy at this TV station, it was discovered that he'd go into the stall, take a crap. He'd come out, adjust his hair, and never wash his hands.
Was his hair real?
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like when you say adjust.
He had that thick hair.
Oh, okay.
And he'd run his fingers through it, which is disgusting. He just had his hand by shit.
Well,
anyway,
that's kind of nasty. That's kind of nasty.
And then he'd leave. And it went around that he didn't wash his hands. And there was this one editor.
Did fire him? Yeah.
The editor wasn't the guy. The editor was so disgusted by this that he kept antibacterial wipes in his office. Or in his editing suite. And when the guy would come in, he would just watch. And when the guy left, he'd say, where'd he touch? Where'd he touch?
What did he
touch?
And
he'd roll, he'd go, get up with these antibacterial wipes, pulling them constantly, cleaning every surface where the guy touched. We referred to him as Edward Fecal Hands.
Oh, like Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, thank you for dissecting that joke.
I love it. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, that's a good story. I mean, I think you should regale the audience with the anecdotes of days of yore, because I've heard a lot of good stories of yours from back in Newton. Is it Newton Cable?
Yeah. Back in Newton Cable days. Those were the best days of my life.
Yeah. You tell those stories with such happy memories. It's wonderful. I feel like the audience would be a treat for them, because they sort of absorb some of that sunshine.
They wouldn't believe these stories were true.
Oh man, even if they're not, even if we're just making it up for
make anything up.
You don't
these
make
stories
any of
stories are 100% true, but you would not believe that people like this really exist.
You watch Elon. Yeah.
I only took, you know, we only had at that station, the only people who got shows were like eccentrics,
of
like
course.
local lunatics.
If you've ever seen, I remember you told me once, if you've ever seen the movie UHF with Weird Al Yankovic, and I think Michael Richards is in that movie, that was pretty much what it was like.
Yeah,
real
we
life.
Were, and we were doing that before there was a UHF movie. It was just the strangest, most wonderful. It's like it was like living in a David Lynch sitcom. It was beautiful. It was.
I'm not
going to
pretend I understand that reference, but I
when
will.
When I get old and start living in my past and start thinking I'm in the past, I hope I think I'm back at Newton Cable when I'm sitting there in my own shit.
Right, that's the kind of Alzheimer's you want, where it just kind of takes you right back to where you used to work in those
days.
Yeah,
where I'm sitting there wearing soiled adult diapers, waiting for the attendant who doesn't give a shit to come clean me up. And I'm thinking about, I think I'm in the past. I want to think I'm at Newton Cable.
Meanwhile, I'll have to go to
I could tailor my Alzheimer's, that's how it would go.
Meanwhile, I'll have to go down and argue with the manager of the source on your behalf, because he sold you a bill of goods.
No, I think by the time I'm that bad, I won't be going anywhere on my own.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. Hopefully not. Hopefully you stay. I mean, my grandmother's 100 and you'd be 103 years old this year. And if it wasn't for her body falling apart, she's smart as a whip. Her mind is still all there. I mean, it's got to be one of the greatest gifts. For if you're going to be that old, at least know what the fuck you're talking about.
Wouldn't it be great to be able to put that brain in a new body?
Absolutely. You'd actually have somebody with the requisite amount of experience to take up a position of political power. I think you need somebody.
Not only that, but like there's people walking around now who really aren't using their brains.
Right.
So why can't we throw out the brain, put in a usable brain, and then make a good package?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
A healthy body and an experienced brain.
That's some Elon Musk shit right there.
Oh, Elon Musk! Poor Elon Musk.
Did
he has
see
Asperger's
SNL?
Syndrome.
I'm going
to
go ahead and
to call it Asperger's Syndrome anymore, because the term was coined named after a Nazi scientist, which all of a sudden, I had no idea this was the case. I had for years, people used Asperger's Syndrome as a way of describing something on the autism spectrum. Nowadays, you're not supposed to use it, you're supposed to say on the spectrum. But he said he had Asperger's Syndrome, and people were like making it like he was some Nazi sympathizer. It's like, what the fuck is the matter with people?
I don't have as big of a problem as it being the name of a Nazi doctor as it is just if you're going to use a term to explain a disease that or a disorder that affects people's ability to socialize or make eye contact or whatever it is. Calling it Asperger's does not exactly make it, you know, the way it sounds itself is cause enough to maybe try and rename it, whether it's a name or not. It still sounds like Asperger's. Which is a terrible.
First time somebody told me there was painters were painting my house, and one guy, a young guy, was very intent on asking me some questions, and I was fine with it. But then the guy says, "Sorry, he has Asperger's," and I thought he was joking. I thought he meant Asperger. I'd never heard of Asperger's. ASP.
Asperger's is what it should be pronounced, but it sounds like Asperger's, and it's used to describe a disorder that is meant to affect your social.
I don't know if it's a disorder. It's a non-neurotypical way of thinking.
A non-neurotypical. I don't know exactly. It's hard to keep up with how to appropriately describe what it is. But if in any event, if you have it, you can become the world's second richest person. So I don't think it's all that bad.
Well, he obviously. Very high functioning on the spectrum.
Because it doesn't affect it. Apparently, it doesn't affect your intellectual or cognitive abilities. It just kind of affects your social abilities, correct? That's why he said he wouldn't make it. Did you watch the monologue on SNL?
I'm not an expert as to what it does and doesn't do.
Yeah, I don't know. But clearly, it can, in result, if you have it, if it's a spectrum disorder, obviously, it can be very bad or it can be very good or whatever. But it sounds like at the end of the day, that he's doing okay with it, at least.
He must have come from money, though.
Did you watch the monologue?
Yeah, but I glanced over it.
His mom looked like she was rich, but from the future. Did you see?
Maybe she was.
I don't know.
What, like Jane Jetson? Was she dressed like that?
No, she kind of looked like a character from The Matrix, but like a rich.
She was wearing all leather. I didn't
sort of
remember
like
that
she
part.
Had this kind of all black and her hair was slicked back like she was from like She was like, it was like she was from the future, but from like the future as far as like the 1940s would assume. You know what I mean?
You mean the future that the 1940s thought would be the future?
Right.
That not the future we think of when we think of the future now.
Not how we define the future today, which is generally post-apocalyptic, but what people from the 40s thought the future would look like.
Flying cars and jetpacks.
Yeah, and like sort of like
unitards. Robots serving us as waiters.
Yeah, unitards and sort of that kind of stuff. Like, all
you know, we do still
glamorous.
Have we do have robots serving us as waiters. They're just human.
Well, we have, yeah. I mean, I don't know how often.
Because robots don't give a shit, and servers have no shits left to give either.
That's just something my parents were saying the other day. It was the slow death of the service industry. COVID notwithstanding, but other than that, is the slow death of the service industry, because they got, I think, what happened? They got a check back from the CRA for their tax return or something like that, my mom had to call the bank manager just to be able to deposit the check that they had been. The teller said that we don't do that. We won't deposit your check for you. You have to call the CRA and arrange like online deposit. And
you can't take the check to the bank and deposit it.
That's what the teller told her.
So that's insane. That's
the death of
nonsense.
The service industry.
Check that is issued to you by an actual issuer, they have to cash it.
The person didn't want to do it. They said, no, it's going to be a few days and you're going to have to come back. And we don't really do this anymore. You need to move over to online and direct deposit. And my parents are like, no, we have this money. It's the legal tender, like put it in our bank account. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to have to see if I can and talk to the man and blah, blah, blah. And they're just like the service.
Did they try to sell your parents a 2-year Bell 5 package, a tablet, and a cell phone?
Wouldn't be surprised.
Like that same kind of bullshit.
It was a younger person, and I think that their conclusion was, this is what happens when everybody gets a trophy for showing up, is this is the service industry that we get, is that nobody wants to do their work, and everybody thinks they're special, and they're not.
Mr. Rogers always told us we were all special in our own way. Who knew what he was leading to? What kind of horrible society he was leading to?
Yeah, I think he kind of started this whole shit.
This whole thing, you're good just as you are. That's bullshit, Mr. Rogers. Why are you feeding pablum to these children? They're going to grow up expecting that they're good just the way they are. And most people are not.
Everyone can improve. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I only have to say, you're good as you are, but you really should improve.
Imagine if Mr. Rogers was doing that. You're great just the way you are, but you know, you could
be. But there's always room for improvement.
But there's always room for improvement.
Taking my shoes off. See you later. All right, I think we've talked long enough.
Yeah. Do you feel like, have you run out of grape juice?
I'm dry. I didn't have any grape juice this whole show.
Dry as a bone.
Yeah, no grape juice. But when I touch my bone, I wash my hands.
First or after?
I don't even have hands. I'm just talking metaphorically.
I see. If you did have hands, you would wash them before you touched.
After.
Okay. Well, I'll take that into consideration. I'll try to be more on top of that.
No, you won't. All right. Anthony can't be found on social media, so don't look. I'm at Ed the Sock on Twitter, Ed_the_sock on Instagram. Facebook, Ed the Sock. My TikTok account, I haven't even opened yet. It's a whole can of worms I don't want to get into yet. I guess that's it. By the time I get to TikTok, there will be some other platform that takes the place of TikTok.
I should say, good on you for keeping with the times. But yeah, TikTok is probably on the way out.
What about, what was that one? Is it Snapchat where the pictures disappear?
Yeah, that's done. I don't even think you can get that anymore.
I don't know. That was mostly so teenagers could take pictures of their private parts and send it to people, and their parents couldn't see it.
I think that's actually 100% accurate.
All right. That's it. Anything last you want to say?
Oh, how do we get people to email? Send your emails.
Stand there behind them with a gun.
Yeah, find out where they live. What is it? Edit.
Send it to me. Send email to me for now. Ed the Sock @newmusicnation.ca.
Yeah. edthesock@newmusicnation.ca. edthesock@newmusicnation.ca.
That's right. So I got to say it three times so people are in beds.
I think I'm going to record a little bumper for that so we don't have to do it every time. We'll just drop it in. Questions or comments? And I'll put a little, I got a little keyboard that's hooks up to the computer. It's called a MIDI controller. And now I have access to all the pianos, all the keyboards, anything we want. So our music is going to start to get a little bit more interesting. It's not just going to be guitars all the time.
Thanks, Liberace. All right. It's time for us to go. Anthony can be found wandering out in the park with his dog scraping her ass along the ground and taking a pee by a tree and not bothering to sanitize himself. That's it. I've lost the will to continue. So thank you for listening to Ed the Sock Lives. Right, Anthony?
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Ed. Good to be here. See you next week, probably.
We never know.